You may be familiar, I'm sure you are familiar. There's a whole genre of svarim that was very popular in the 18th and 19th centuries that was really designated or designed to combat the maskilim and their use of Tanakh in their promotion of their own agenda. And the idea of these svarim was to try to show, to try to demonstrate to the world that not only is Torah Shebichsav compatible with Torah Shebaal Peh, but that the Torah Shebaal Peh is the only way to understand Torah Shebichsav, and that the Torah Shebaal Peh is the key to unlocking the Torah Shebichsav. And they worked very hard on finding all of the messages of the Torah Shebaal Peh within the Torah Shebichsav. And that way they demonstrate how the Mesorah of Chazal really works. And those svarim include the Malbim, of course, was probably the most prominent among them, the Netziv to some extent, and even the Meshech Chachma maybe to an extreme degree, and less celebrated, I think, but equally important is a sefer called Haksava Kabbalah, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, the Haksava Kabbalah. So the Haksava Kabbalah has a very interesting comment on this week's parasha that I wanted to share with you, relating to Sfiras HaOmer. Haksava Kabbalah points out really what should be a basic question. It should be a question we all really should ask in Judaism at a very early age. And usually the basic questions are the best questions. And he asks, why is it that the mitzvah that we do of counting between Pesach and Shavuos, why is it called Sfiras HaOmer? We don't count Omers. Omers are measurements, and we're not counting out any measurements of anything. If anything, it should be Sfiras Yamim or Sfiras Yimei HaOmer. That's what we're counting. We're not counting Sfiras. We're not counting Omers. We're counting Yimei HaOmer. And even more to the point, a Birchas HaMitzvah is supposed to encapsulate the Maisa Mitzvah. It's supposed to be a precise description of the Maisa Mitzvah. So you say Lehis Atef Batzitzis, Nitilas Lulav, Leishev Basuka, Al Achilas Matzah, and many, many others. That's what a Birchas HaMitzvah is supposed to do. Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful piece on the relationship between the Hagdara of a mitzvah and the Birchas HaMitzvah, and whether one is a reflection of the other always, or whether they can deviate from each other. Meaning, can you prove the Hagdara of a mitzvah based on a Birchas HaMitzvah, or even adjust how to fulfill a mitzvah, or what the requirements of the mitzvah are, so that it remains consistent with the Birchas HaMitzvah. But on a very basic level, a Birchas HaMitzvah is supposed to be describing the Maisa Mitzvah. So Rav Shachter writes in Eretz HaTzvi that a Birchas HaMitzvah is always said on the Maisa Mitzvah. We don't recite a Birchas HaMitzvah on a Kiyum Mitzvah, we recite a Birchas HaMitzvah on a Maisa Mitzvah. That's what he points out. That's why you could have a Machlokas Rishonim, whether Sfiras HaOmer is one big mitzvah or 49 separate mitzvahs, and yet there are 49 separate brachos. Shouldn't that be like checkmate, you know, end of story? If there are 49 separate brachos, it's obviously 49 separate mitzvahs. So Rav Shachter points out in Eretz HaTzvi, no, there are 49 separate Maasei Mitzvahs, and therefore 49 separate brachos. But that's not to say that it has to be 49 separate kiyume mitzvah. It might just be one kiyum. And yet, what's the brach on Sfiras HaOmer? It's not al Sfiras Yimei HaOmer, which would have really encapsulated what it is that we're doing, but quite simply, it's al Sfiras HaOmer. Why this emphasis on Omer and de-emphasizing the fact that it's a count of days? Furthermore, even the mention of the word Omer seems like an irrelevant detail in the description of the carbon, meaning even if all we were trying to do was to describe the carbon that triggers this count, it still seems that we're focusing on the wrong word. You see, Rashi explains the word Omer means Asiras Ha'efa. It's an exact measure, which that's all it is. What other carbon is described by the quantity of flour that you use for the carbon? Shouldn't the description have been what the Pasuk uses in the second paragraph of Sefer Vayikra, Minchas Bikurim, right? Isn't that a more appropriate type of description of what it is rather than the measurement of flour that you use? And there's another anomaly with the Karban Omer. Karban Omer requires waving, a Tnufasa Omer. That's reminiscent of the Na'anuim of the Lulav, which are also waved in all directions. And the Gemara tells us in Masech HaSukkah, corresponding to the mastery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over all of creation, that Misha Dalid Rucho Shalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over all the directions actions of the world. So what exactly does the Tanufa represent in the context of the Karban Omer, and why specifically this Karban, why does specifically this Karban granted this Tanufa, this unusual ritual that we don't really find in that many places? So Aksava Kabbalah explains that when we harvest our grain, and we're about to experience another season of eating from a successful crop, thoughts of our own power and hatzlacha can creep in. And that always leads to a risk of feeling that kochi va'otzem yadi asali asachayel hazeh, that a person can get to a point, much like the Midrashim talk about when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, that after we've already gathered the grain from the fields, and we really know what we've got, so we go out, fitzemi diras keva, and we go out to a diras arai, and we remind ourselves that we're under the hashkachas Hashem, but at each stage in the process, the first time that we really see how successful we've been is when we harvest our grain, and that's a risk of kochi v'otzem yadi. The waving of the omer is a reminder, much like by Sukkis, a reminder that it's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all bracha, that there's nothing that we can do, everything is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We put in our efforts, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all bracha. And based on this, he explains, the word Omer does not only mean a measurement, like Rashi says. Aksav HaKabbalah often does this. He'll take a word that we've always been translating one way our entire lives and show, you know, if you really look through Tanakh, you'll find that the word is used in another way as well, and maybe that secondary meaning is really the primary meaning. And we haven't focused. My favorite example where the Aksav HaKabbalah does this is in Makas Choshech, right? The Aksav HaKabbalah, the Pasuk says that lo kam ish mitachtav, that man didn't get up from under him. Aksav HaKabbalah says, no, tachas does mean under, but lo tira velo techas, techas means to be terrified. So lo kam ish mitachtav, from his terror, meaning it's a secondary meaning of the word, but that's the ikar meaning over here, meaning that has to be what it means, says Aksav HaKabbalah. So Aksav HaKabbalah points to another meaning of the word Omer. The word Omer is not only a measurement, it's mentioned again in Devarim Perek Chav Dalin in the context of a kidnapper. This Amer Bo Umacharo, the kidnapper enslaves his victim. Apparently Omer means, on some level, to enslave. And the purpose of the Minchas HaOmer is to recognize that we are Avdei Hashem. And with that recognition, we're meshabit ourselves fully to the mitzvahs Hashem. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, in a Shabbos HaGadol drasha that's been printed, writes that all of our averos come from some chisaron in understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, in understanding Hashkachas Hashem. When we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control and we remain focused on that reality, if we're really focused on that reality, we don't do averos. We do averos when we lose sight of that reality, when we're not paying attention to that reality, when we know it intellectually, but we're not mindful of that reality. When we're mindful of that reality, we don't do averos. The Levush explains that the reason, in some Taf Tzadi Gimel, the Levush explains the reason we learn Pirkei Avos during the days of Svira is to internalize the Divrei Tochacha U'Musar and be Mekabel all HaTorah V'Mitzvos. The whole idea is that in order to receive the Torah, we need to be willing to be recipients of something. We need to be able to, we need to be willing to be kafuf to something, to be kafuf to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that requires a lot of tikkun amidos to get to that point. The Shla HaKadosh writes that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu had us serve as slaves to Paro B'Mitzrayim was to accustom us to the concept of Avdus. That it would have been very, very difficult for us to go from absolute Cheirus to becoming Avdei Hashem. Much easier for us to transition to becoming Avdei Hashem after so much time as Avdei Paro, and also to appreciate the value of being Avdei Hashem when we consider the alternative. And that's David HaMelech describes Kabbalah Satorah as Alisa Lamarom Shavisa Shevi in Sefer Tehillim Perek Samaches, that Alisa Lamarom Shavisa Shevi. What does that mean? That we've taken the Torah as captive, but in the most meaning we've made ourselves captive, not just the Torah, but in the most positive sense. Through the Torah, Klal Yisrael became captive to the Torah, became captive to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but in a good way. Now we get to become Avdei Hashem. The Torah's values are absolutely timeless. Different parts of the Torah can be more challenging in particular generations. And, you know, this generation, or the most, you know, I guess what they would call the millennial generation, has a unique challenge that's been well documented in many books. You know, there's a psychologist that wrote a book already 15 years ago called Generation Me. The millennials and younger members of Generation X, she said, Jean Twenge said that there's a certain trait of confidence and tolerance, but also a sense of entitlement and narcissism that's very common. A sense of it's magiali, as they say in Hebrew. In fact, last year there was a rabbinic retreat that I did not go on, but I was invited, but I couldn't make it. And I was told that one of the best sessions on the retreat was for Rabbanim, was that Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg gave a session on how to engage millennials and get them involved in Tzorchei Tzibur, because it's such a challenge that Rabbanim are having, that whereas an older generation or previous generations, all they wanted to do was do for the Tzibur, it's much more challenging to get Generation Me to be interested in Tzorchei Tzibur. And Jewish history is rich with people who did whatever they could to make sure that the Tzibur is strong at great personal expense. And Mesiras Nefesh, it's a badge of honor, because it means that a person is a true Eved. It means that I don't live for me, I live for something so much bigger than me. I live for Klal Yisrael, I live for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest accomplishment and title, Moshe Avdi, he's the servant of Hashem. You know, in a generation where the more common phrases are, you know, it's not fair, what about me? Or as my kids often say, you know, when there's something they don't want to do, that's not fun. You know, as if, you know, value in life is determined based on what's fun and what's not fun. So it's really irrelevant whether it's fun. The question is it right? Is this how we serve? Is this how we become Avdei Hashem? So it's important to remind ourselves that we only find true happiness in Avdus. And really, that's a major part of being a family person also. A man who lives to make his wife happy and to guide his children properly will find much greater satisfaction in his family life than a person who thinks everything has to be fair and that everyone has to, or worse, that everyone has to serve him. I just got an email today from a fellow that I met when I was in New Rochelle for Shabbos. And this fellow did not live in New Rochelle. He was there for Shabbos also. And he was getting married, you know, shortly thereafter, and he had asked me a question about taking pictures before the wedding or something like that. So I said, you know, I can answer your question, but you have a Masadah Kiddushin. You should ask your Masadah Kiddushin. So he just emailed me, I don't know why, out of the blue, he just emailed me that his Masadah Kiddushin was Rav Naftali Yeager from Shar Yashuv, and he asked Rav Yeager, and Rav Yeager said, will it make your wife happy? And he said, will it make your Kala happy? And he said, yes. He said, okay, so then there's no question. So then that's what you do. So like it was an important musr that, you know, when you're in this, you're not in this for you. You're in this to be able to give, to be able to serve. When Avraham Soloveitchik Zatzal, you know, he heard the lyrics to Hatikva, to the Israeli national anthem, he for the most part enjoyed it, but there was a phrase that irked him about the national anthem. Lios am chafshi, to be a free nation. It's not our goal. Our goal is never to be an am chafshi. That's not a Jewish value. We're servants. He said, lios am kadosh, he thought it should be changed to. He once mentioned this in a shir, and someone who was of a different hashkafa stormed out of the shir, like he's darshaning the Israeli national anthem. And Rav Soloveitchik commented, okay, if he wants to say am chafshi, let him say am chafshi. You know, as if that's what the fellow was upset about. But that's the idea. The person is supposed to, we're supposed to view ourselves as avadim. And whatever we're blessed with, intelligence or money, ingenuity, any other talent, the test of the days of Svira is to be an Eved, to be an Omer Jew. And whether we use that for our own interests or for an advancement or in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's ultimately what's going to determine whether we're truly an Omer Jew or not. You know, so most years, as it comes this time, people are feeling happy, they're feeling confident, the sun is shining, things are, you know, looking forward to a summer, and like there's a certain sense of positivity in the air, which is great, but also sometimes dangerous. This year, it feels like we don't need reminders. We realize that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running everything, and we have no control. We just need to daven a lot, and we need to be there for Klal Yisrael. Yesterday we had a Rosh Yeshiva's meeting, and I get invited to these things, so it's like, I don't know, it's a little surreal, but, looking around the Zoom and seeing, Rabbi Tendler there, first of all, that a man in his 90s figured out how to use Zoom, and, he shuts the camera off when he wants to, and, he actually uses it properly, so I guess his mama should blow away, but I was, taking pictures of the Zoom, but looking around and seeing, all my Rebbeim around, I don't even remember where I was going with this a second ago. I totally forgot what I was about to say when I got caught up with Rabbi Tendler. We had this meeting, and we're not really supposed to talk about what goes on in these meetings, but at one point the president, not Donald Trump, Ari Berman, spoke about how our leadership, our Torah leadership, has really provided our community with so much comfort and so much chizik and things that really stepped up to become avadim to the tzibur. And he dafka highlighted, and he started to cry. He highlighted what Moreinu Harav Shachter has done for Klal Yisrael over these past couple of months. Is something that it can't be underestimated. It's something that a person just completely gives himself to the tzibur and ceases to sleep and doesn't worry about himself at all anymore and is only concerned with what the tzibur needs and is always thinking, okay, what's the next need going to be? What else can I do for Klal Yisrael? And that's what it means to be an Omer Jew. We have role models in this regard, and now we have motivation, we have recognition in this regard. We recognize that there's only a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's nothing else. A Kodesh Baruch Hu, every time we think that something is within our control, there's another reminder. Just this morning, I got a phone call from someone. A fellow in my shul called me up. He said, Rabbi, I'm telling you, I've been good about the social distancing. I haven't left my house other than to go shopping, and neither has my wife. We've been staying home the entire time, except for going shopping or taking walks together. We've been great about social distancing. We both just came down with corona. They both just tested positive. At this point, I mean, can we explain things like this? Yeah, it's so difficult so she hasn't gotten out of bed in a week, and she's, thank God, they'll be okay, but there are young people and they'll be okay. But it's so difficult to feel that we have any control of anything. And that recognition, obviously not something we asked for and not something we're happy about, but that recognition is something that can be utilized to feel a sense of avdus to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to become Omer Jews like we're supposed to become.